Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're recording this episode in advance for you from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma, as I am on vacation by the time you're hearing this. Last week, we got into a new book by Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry titled The Book of Hebrews, What Jesus Christ is Doing Today. We started out last week with chapter 1, Hebrews is for our day. And this week we're getting into chapter 2, the God family vision of Hebrews. Last week we had to cover quite a lot of pretty strong correction, because these points of correction in the book of Hebrews actually are also links between Hebrews and a lot of other biblical books. A lot of other biblical books like Haggai, Habakkuk, Malachi, Obadiah, all of which are about this end time. So these points of correction in Hebrews prove to us that the book of Hebrews is also for this end time. But once we get past proving that, we get into the first two chapters of the biblical book of Hebrews. As Mr. Flurry writes here at the start of chapter 2, the most inspiring part of Hebrews is its first two chapters. Hebrews 1 and 2 comprise probably one of the top introductions in the Bible. They describe a wonderfully moving vision of Christ and the God family, and you need to study them. So this program is not meant to be a replacement for studying the book and studying the biblical book of Hebrews 2. It's just meant to hopefully get you interested in studying those things, or remind you of some points that you've already studied from those books. But this book is all inspiring vision, and then that is followed by correction. This book of Hebrews starts out with the vision, and then the Apostle Paul gives some correction, because the people at his time simply didn't have any urgency like they needed. They didn't know their Bibles. They weren't stirred up about their future like they should have been. So Paul reminded them. He gave them the God family vision. He showed them the future that they have. And like we covered in the show from last week, this book applies more to us today than it did to the people Paul had to teach back then. We need to remember more than ever at this dangerous time exactly what our purpose is in life. The very start of the book of Hebrews is incredibly inspiring. It talks about how God the Father has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. It also says how God has appointed Christ to be the heir of the universe. God has appointed Christ heir of the universe. And God is speaking to us through that incredible being. God speaks to his family. It's God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and then so many more human beings who have the chance to be transformed into spirit-born sons in that family. That's why the Trinity doctrine is so dangerous and so evil. And we always must remember that that is Satan's attack on the God family. As you look at the book of Hebrews and you study into it, you'll see so much family language. It's all about family. Christ considers us his brothers. God the Father considers us his children. Even before we're born spiritually into his family, if we're begotten with God's Holy Spirit, he considers us sons already, because that means that when the time comes, when Christ returns, he will transform us into spirit beings, his actual spirit-born sons in his family. His part of that is sure, and like I've said before, it's just up to us to stay loyal and to follow through and to endure to the end so that we can receive that awesome reward. Mr. Fleury writes here, Paul is talking about the Father and Son. He didn't start the way the Apostle John did, who wrote about the Word and God. John 1 verse 1. Paul talks about family, Father and Son. That is a vision in itself. God is a family. This is about the good news of the kingdom of God, which is the family of God. This is the message of the Bible from the beginning to the end. So Paul is talking about family. John went way back to the beginning, the real beginning, which wasn't even a beginning because God and the Word have existed for eternity. They've had no starting point to their lives. Long before they actually became Father and Son, they were God and the Word. And John covers that eternal prehistory. Paul gets right into the God family in his book. Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 11 show that God is going to bring many sons unto glory, and that Christ does consider us as brothers, like I mentioned. What a vision. What awesome hope we have. No matter how hard things get, no matter how crazy society becomes, we can look to this future. This is so much positivity, so much hope. Like I mentioned in the show last week, yes, there are some times where we must warn, because the bad news is fulfilled before the good news is. And because we know the punishment that's coming, it's only love if we warn. But the main focus is on the future, beyond the punishment, when all mankind finally gets a chance to know God for real, when they finally get to put aside those shackles that Satan put on them for all these years, for 6,000 years of failure in man's civilization. Finally, their eyes will be opened to the shining light of God's truth. Finally, they will know the way to lasting peace and joy. That's what we're looking forward to. That's the message that God's work wants to put out above all the rest. But it is only natural to warn about the punishment that comes first. Just look at this vision, though, this hope that we can have. Even as the great tribulation and day of the Lord literally shake the heavens and the earth, literally rock this planet to its core, those who are suffering through that can look to a message like this in the book of Hebrews and have hope for a better future. A God family future. And it's just so profound. You could read the book of Hebrews in the Bible over and over. You could supplement your study with this book from Mr. Fleury that's available for free at thetrumpet.com and also in the show notes of this program when it's a podcast. You can supplement your study and you could just continually fill your mind with the message of Hebrews, and you'll get more depth out of it every single time. There's so much that God wants to show us, so much that he wants to teach us. But the question is, are we ready to take it in? Are we ready to be taught? Are we teachable? Do we really want to learn the truth? And are we ready to accept God's loving correction in order to make our futures possible? John 1 verse 18 shows that Christ came to earth to declare his Father. Mr. Fleury writes here, "To this day, he is still turning human beings to the Father. Everything he teaches centers around that purpose." What loyalty! And what a contrast to this world of betrayal. He is a son, and he is thrilled to be a son. There is no hint of competition between him and the Father. That is rare. God rare. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ shows us how to honor the Father. And the Bible's very clear about the fact that this is a major problem with the majority of God's people today. Most of God's people in this end time have rebelled. 95% of them do not honor their Father today. They don't honor God through obedience to his commandments like they should. Malachi 1 verse 6 shows God confronting these rebels for not honoring him like they are supposed to, like they've been called to do. And Mr. Fleury says here, that is what Paul is addressing. They have lost the family vision. Does it get any more discouraging or scary than that? Especially as times get worse very soon. And they are rather turbulent times even right this moment. What are those rebels going to do? When they don't have vision anymore, when they can't see the light beyond the present suffering, what will life be like for them? That's why we warn. We want them to get that vision back. We want those who have never had the vision to get it for the first time, so that there's a way that maybe they don't have to suffer so much very soon. If we have this God family vision, if it's at the forefront of our minds, if we're thinking every day about Christ's return and our job as his bride, if we're serving him and obeying, if we're serving God and obeying him and supporting his work today, that's the position we can have as his bride. That's the elevated reward. But even the rest of mankind can have that hope when the suffering comes, knowing that they can also be God's sons, just not at the level of Christ's bride. That's the kind of hope that we need every single day. We need to be able to see beyond the suffering. And there is so much of it in this world. Diseases that are breaking out, natural disasters that are proliferating. Probably most terrifying is man's pursuit of nuclear weapons. What about the ominous threat of cyber warfare? America's pretty much completely electronic in every facet. What if some skilled hackers were able to shut down the grid? Your Bible shows that America is extremely vulnerable and will be exploited in that way. Grave suffering is coming. And yet, if we have this God family vision right now, if it does direct everything we think, say, and do today, we won't have to suffer like the majority of mankind. We will have the right focus. We will have the right priorities. We will be obeying God while the rest of the world basically scoffs at him. But this book of Hebrews really does lift us up. It really is encouraging. It even gives the encouraging aspect to something as devastating as the crucifixion, the beating, the suffering, the death of our Savior Jesus Christ. He was mauled. He was brutalized beyond recognition as a man. And yet, Mr. Fleury writes, he lived a sinless life for you. He allowed himself to be crucified for you. You need to make this personal. That is unfathomable, God-level love. Try to imagine for a moment being perfect your entire lifetime, not even one thought out of place. And yet, what do you get for that? You get a beating and a murder. That's how your life ends. And yet Christ did this joyfully. He did it knowing the vision. The God family vision is what spurred Christ to go through all of that. Mr. Fleury writes, that family consists of the Father, the Son, and soon innumerable sons. God wants to give us the same glory he gave Christ. So yes, Christ suffered, but then he was resurrected, then he was glorified. And at this point, he's waiting for us to follow in his footsteps, to go through the same conversion and perfection process, and to literally be born and transformed into spirit-born sons of God, just like he was. What an awesome plan. Mr. Fleury writes here, humans have the opportunity to undergo the same miraculous process, the same process as Christ went through, except for we don't have to die like he did if we obey him today. The book of Hebrews also points out exactly what makes us so different from the brilliant, dazzling angels. These angels that are powerful beyond belief, these angels that can zip from one side of the universe to the other in a split second, these angels that can read our minds, these angels that have awesome, majestic power, and yet they have so much less than we do. Matthew 22, verse 30 shows that angels don't have sex. They don't have physical family. These things that are a type of God's family, they don't know anything like that through experience. Mr. Fleury says they are called sons of God only by virtue of having been created by God. However, they are not sons in the familial sense of the word. They were not spiritually begotten by God, later to be born as full-fledged God family members. But you are. If you are in God's one true church, you are spiritually in the womb. And God is doing all he can to make sure you are born into his family. Again, just try to wrap your mind around this. Try to fathom this fact that these two God beings, the Father and the Son, who have lived for all eternity, are focused every day on helping you to become perfect, on making you a part of their family. That's just, it could bring you to tears thinking about something like that. It really should from time to time. It's so humbling to think about that. We're just puny, mortal, sinful human beings. And yet our potential far outshines that of the angels. We can reach the God level, which even the angels don't have the honor of achieving. Mr. Fleury writes, being begotten by God through God's Holy Spirit is where all our hope lies. Even if the Holy Spirit is not yet in you, but is working with you before baptism, you are on your way to being born into the very family of God. If that sounds like heresy, you need to read God's inspired word more closely. Some have called it blasphemy, but it is the very word of God. So if you're listening to this right now and you are a supporter of the work, but you've never become a baptized, spirit-begotten member of the Philadelphia Church of God, maybe God's working with you right now. Maybe he is trying to open your mind to this. Again, being begotten by God through God's Holy Spirit is where all our hope lies. It's great to support the work, but there are other steps we can take too to get even more committed, to dive into this even more and put our lives in God's hands like never before. And God makes this available to us. You're hearing the very message right now through this work that makes possible eternal life. This is the path to immortality right here in front of you. And God just wants to know, what will each one of us do with it? God can't even trust the angels to rule the universe because they, under Lucifer, who became Satan, failed. They had a chance on Earth to put the finishing touches on that perfect planet, and yet they failed. They rebelled. They got jealous. They thought they should already have more responsibility than just the Earth to start out, and they forgot about the fact that God would have given them that responsibility if they had succeeded on Earth. So at that point, God realized he couldn't trust the angels to rule the universe. He had to trust himself. And by himself, I mean God beings, his sons. He can trust us once we are born into his family to rule the entire universe. God is recreating himself in human beings. Physical family is just a type of the spiritual God family. Like Mr. Fleury writes, physical birth is a God-plane event. When you understand these parallels between marriage and birth and family, on the physical level and on the spiritual level, you come to realize how a perversion of these things in the world is so profoundly evil and destructive. That's why abortion, fornication, adultery, divorce are all such terrible things. It's not because a human being said so. It's because it totally destroys the God family vision. These activities, these sins, ruin lives, and they make it that much harder for people to know this truth, this spiritual parallel between the physical family and the God family. Marriage and family are beautiful gifts from God, and as Mr. Fleury writes, they're only given to those who have universe-ruling potential. That's why the angels don't have these things. How thankful are we for marriage and family done God's way? So this is the type of message that Paul was trying to give to the Hebrews to stir them to action, to get them to return to doing the work and being urgent. This world needs teachers. Those called out today before Christ's return have that opportunity to teach all the rest of mankind very soon. And Christ has an intimate role in that as our mediator between us and God the Father. And they're focused on helping us every day to prepare for that future. But right now, Christ isn't even the God of this world yet. Satan is in charge of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Christ has already qualified through his perfect life to replace Satan, and yet he is waiting for thousands of years for you to be ready to rule with him. Does that not just give you the chills? I got the chills saying it just now. He's waiting for us. The universe is waiting for us. That's our future. As Mr. Fleury talks about, a little child, when learning to walk, will fall repeatedly. But when do you ever see a child quit? Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are tests in life. But if we're like that little child, we'll never quit. We'll never give up. He says, Mr. Fleury writes here, if we fall, God wants us to get up like a little child and go on. You are certain to finish this race if you keep moving forward. And it is at this point I will play for you a classic short audio clip from the movie Rocky VI.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
You probably didn't see that coming. I enjoy being a little bit unpredictable from time to time. But that's the point here, that God wants us to keep moving forward. He wants us to keep fighting every day because our future is worth it. Just really powerful stuff here in the book of Hebrews and in this second chapter of Mr. Fleury's book. Again, that chapter is titled The God Family Vision of Hebrews. You can study the entire Hebrews book for free at thetrumpet.com. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.